Well, they just proved a point. Church of Christ folks can sing without music. We can too, amen? That ain't got anything on us. All right, we can do it with or without it, can't we? Thank you, girls. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. A couple of verses. Share some things I hope will be a help and encouragement to us tonight. Talk about some things that kind of separates fundamentalists from the liberals. Talk about some negatives tonight. That's an attention getter, isn't it? Negative. Joel Osteen was up here, he'd say, we're going to talk about some positives. Well, we're going to talk about both of them tonight. Can't have one without having the other. If you want to do the right thing, you can anyway. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Notice the middle line, thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. That's a negative. Thou shalt not. It's only fair that I say this. About half of this message is mine, and the other half's borrowed. Amen? We preachers borrow from each other. Okay? I told someone one time. Did that come out right? One time I told someone this. I said, I can preach some of Jack Hyle's sermons better than he did. And the guy said, why do you say that? I said, he preached them once, and I preached them seven or eight times. Amen. Practice helps a lot, doesn't it? Amen. So anyway, some things, some thou shalt nots tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again we approach your throne of grace. And Lord, it's just a privilege that we can do that, and we can't do it too often. And I'm glad that you have open ears and that you graciously receive our petitions. And Lord, we need you tonight. We need you more and more every day of our life. I pray that you bless us as we look to the Word of God tonight. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thou shalt not. Now, chapter 1 has 31 verses. And you'll notice I started with verse 16. And then in verse 17, you said that thou shalt not. Now, if my math's correct, 31 and 17 is 48. You only get 48 verses into your Bible where you find a negative. Thou shalt not. Immediately after God created Adam, he gave him a thou shalt not. In Exodus chapter 20, we'll not turn there, but that's the first place that the commandments are given. In chapter 20 of the book of Exodus, in that one chapter, I counted today to be sure. I reread it to be sure, and I counted. 10 times in that one chapter, you find these words, "Thou shalt not." 10 negatives in one chapter in your Bible. Now, let's be honest. Nobody likes to hear those words. Nobody likes to be told no. You tell a child no, what are they going to do? I'm going to throw a fit, huh? And it's not only children. Sometimes somebody asks me for something, I say no, even though I know I'm going to say yes. You say, why you say no? To watch their reaction. To watch them get mad. Why? We don't like to hear the word no. We don't like to hear the words, thou shalt not. But the 48th verse in the Bible, God said, thou shalt not. Now, the Joel Osteen crowd calls us fundamentalists negative preachers because we preach against sin. Now, that's one of the things he said he'll never mention. I've listened to him a few times. I listen to guys like that just to expose them as liberals, non-Bible believers. And there's two things he said. He said, I'll never preach on hell, and I'll never use the word sin. And I'm yet to hear him. Now, I haven't listened to him in months, but I've never heard him use that word sin. I've never heard him call anything a sin. He has that positive approach, you know. You can do it. Self-promotion, you know. Higher esteem. Self-esteem. Well, I got one better than that. I'm pretty low on self-esteem, but I'm pretty high on Christ's esteem. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It doesn't come from Robinson. It doesn't come from you. But it comes from Christ working in us through the person of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. But there has to be a balance in life. You got here tonight because of a balance in your automobile. And that balance is under the hood of that automobile. Or it may be hid somewhere else, but you got here because you had a battery in that automobile that has a positive and a negative ground. You get rid of one of them and you're going to be walking. Or you're going to be staying at the house. You got to have a positive and you got to have a negative. Now, the Bible is filled with positives, but it's also full of negatives. We come one Sunday, we preach on heaven, that's a what? We come the next Sunday, we preach on hell, that's a... See, you got to have a balance. You can't have one without the other. Hell is negative. Heaven is positive. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 reads like this. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now notice this. And it's profitable for doctrine. Now, it's just a Sunday night crowd, so let's just kind of do it a little bit different, okay? The Word of God is profitable for doctrine. What would you call that? Say it aloud. I'd call that a positive. For reproof. For correction. For instruction. The Bible's a balanced book. A positive, a negative, a negative, a positive. See, God knows there has to be a balance in our life. The Bible is a balanced book. Well, I thought about that when I was reading. In fact, it just came to me just a few moments ago. I don't know if I marked it or not. But I probably didn't. I may come back to it a little bit later. But it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I still wish I would have marked that. Let me keep a looking around here. But I don't guess I did. But anyway, I was just flipping around a while ago and happened to notice the Scripture where it says David by God said a certain thing. That tells me that David was inspired of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Bible is a balanced book. Do you know, there's something about that negative thing. But you know what? Negatives are for our protection. Let me say that again. Negatives are for our protection. God gives negatives to protect us. You'll be driving along and you'll come up to an exit ramp. Maybe you want to turn left. And all of a sudden you see a sign that says, "Do not enter." Wrong way. Now, it might be a shortcut if you disobeyed that. You would say, "Boy, I wish they hadn't put that sign up there. I wonder who done that. Some of those highway department guys stuck that sign up there. Who do they think they are? Tell me I can't go that way, wrong way." That's just kind of way we think oftentimes. But they're there for a reason. And they're there for our protection. I picked up a medicine bottle at the house the other day. And I got to reading on it. And it said, "Do not take antacids within 2 hours of this medicine." Now, you and I read that, I could have said, "Well, who's that pharmacist think he is anyhow? Tell me what I can't do. Who's that doctor think he is? Telling that pharmacist to be sure and put that on there and tell me I can't take antacids even if I got indigestion." Amen? Come on. Everybody having a good time? You know, there's just something about that. We don't like to be told that we can't do certain things. But you know why they put those things on there? For our protection. For our protection. And every negative that God puts in the book is for our protection. I'll make a reference to Brother Reggie Pate, already in heaven. Dear friend, and I got thinking today of all the preacher friends. And many of the, in fact, most of the preachers that I've been close to in life are already in heaven. I've got preacher friends today. And I'm talking about the ones I've known for 25, 30, 35, 40, 45 years. Most of them that I was real close to are already in heaven. And Reggie's one of those. And I remember when Reggie and his wife and those three little boys got right with God and they got in church at Hot Springs Baptist Temple. Reggie told me this one time. He said, "Man, we'd never been in a King James fundamental Bible preaching church." And he said, "Man, we'd never heard things like that." Said, "We were just young converts," and said, "We'd go to church and we'd listen to Brother Riggs preaching, on different things and preaching on negative things. And, you know, it's not right for Christian to do this and do that." And said, the wife and me, and said, even our boys would come home and they'd say, "Dad, why is he preaching like that? We never heard that." And Reggie told this to me in a private conversation. He said, "We were young Christians. And he said, I didn't understand a lot of things that preacher was preaching. And one night we were discussing that at home, and he said, I realized that I was the father, the husband, and the head of the house." And he said, "We just all sat down, all five of us, my wife, me, and our three boys. And I said to them, my family, we're young converts. I don't understand a lot of things that he's preaching. But I'm going to trust him that he's preaching and teaching us right." And I've never forgotten what Reggie said. He said, "I taught my family that we're going to go to church. We may not understand why Brother Riggs preaches on some negative things, some things we shouldn't do. But he said to my family, we're just going to trust the man of God that he's teaching us right because he is using the right book, the King James Bible." And then, as they grew up, and then tonight, all three of those boys are grown, got families of their own, and they're in church. So you know what? That showed some wisdom on a young convert named Reggie Pate. That he didn't understand himself, but he was going to trust the preaching of the King James Bible. But you know, even in a perfect environment, Adam was given a "thou shalt not." Because you see, we're in chapter 2. Thou shalt not. Sin didn't enter until you get to chapter 3. So even in a perfect environment, he was given a "thou shalt not." Now, three things I want to share the time we have tonight. Number one, Satan always draws our attention to the negatives. Always. Keep that in mind as we progress. When Satan showed up with Eve, he didn't focus her attention on all those other trees. And I think there could have been hundreds of trees in the Garden of Eden. But he didn't focus her attention on all those other trees. He focused her attention on that one tree, the tree of life, and said, ye shall not eat of it, God said. Now think about this. 41,173 verses are in your King James Bible. 41,173. And less than 250 times you'll see the word thou shalt not. So why is it that so many times we want to concentrate on the 250 thou shalt nots when we can feast on the 41,000 that are positives and fun and enjoyment and excitement? But the old Adamic nature wants to dwell on those 250 thou shalt nots. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, one of my favorite places in the Word of God. I love it. In fact, I can't remember the preacher's name, but he used to, he put this into lyrics, and he used to teach the young folks, juniors and teenagers at camp, to sing that song, where Paul said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he says, think on these things. That's the 41,000 positive things. I call it the think tank. Think tank. Think on these things. You notice that everything that he mentioned at verse 8 is positive. He said, think on these things. Things that are pure and honest and just, of good report. Think on these things the apostle was inspired to share with us. Recently, that week before last, I drove to Russellville, preached a couple nights with Brother Chris, got up the next morning, drove into Oklahoma, seen some family members there, drove all the way back. Now I realize that I drove nonstop, okay, but I'm making a point. I drove all the way to Oklahoma and all the way back, and I only remember seeing one sign that said, wrong way, do not enter. But along that way of over 600 miles that I drove that week, I saw beautiful freeways. I saw beautiful landscapes. I saw beautiful timbers. I saw a multitude of positive things. If you hadn't figured it out, I love Arkansas. I love the hill country. And I thought, man, what a beautiful country. And some of the leaves had just began to turn, autumn colors and so forth. Man, I came through Clarksville, down through those hills, and I paid attention part of the time driving, but I glanced, I said, man, what beautiful scenery it is. Positive things. And I only saw one negative. I said, do not enter. Wrong way. But I didn't throw a fit when I saw it. I said, what'd you do? I didn't go that way. You know why? Because that negative was for my protection. You see, if I had ignored that sign and went, I might have had a head-on collision and got killed or killed somebody else. They're given for our protection. Number two, that's what I want to talk about. Negatives are for our protection. Verse 17 says, Genesis 2:17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. I'm going to start with a question here. Why did God put that one tree in the garden, just that one tree, and then say, thou shalt not eat of it? I'll try to answer that for myself, then I'll pass it along to you. I mentioned in the morning message, God created us as free moral agents. God gives us a free will. I talked about that in depth in the message this morning. God gives us the ability to choose. God wants us to choose to obey Him. He wants us to choose Him over creation. See, He created those trees. Everybody agree? He created the Garden of Eden. All those trees. But He singles out just one of them. And He says, now that one, I don't want you to bother it. I don't want you to eat of that one. There's a reason for that. God wants us to choose Him over His creation. I'll prove that in Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between them, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. Served the creature, or the creation, more than the Creator. And so God put that one tree, He created it, and said, don't touch it. The day you touch that one, ye shall die. Now, I do want you to turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We'll try to bring this all together. Negatives are for our protection. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now verse 16 also says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, God tells us what to love, but He also tells us what not to love. That verse 16, if you want to keep your finger there, feel free to do so, and then go back to our text in Genesis, back to chapter 2. And I'm going to tie these two verses together. Verse 16, 1 John 2 and verse 16, I'm going to tie it together with Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Three key words there. The woman saw, she desired, and she took. Now, the woman saw, that correlates with 1 John 2:16, the lust of the flesh. Okay? She saw, she lusted. Then it says that it was pleasant to the eyes. That correlates with verse 16. The lust of the eyes. Okay, you have the lust of the flesh, she saw. Pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes. And a tree desired, that's the pride of life. And John warns us about that in his writing hundreds of years later. Now, remember this. Adam and Eve were innocent, and God wanted them to stay that way. But He put that one tree in there as a test to see if they were going to serve the creature, creation, or whether they were going to serve the Creator. Something I want you to think about. We often hear folks say, ignorance is bliss. No, it's not. But I tell you what is, innocence is bliss. Innocence is bliss. You're not stronger when you learn about sin. Not long ago, I was given a book on pornography, written by a Christian preacher. I'm going to be honest with you. I started reading it, and I laid it down. And 2 days ago, I threw it in a trash can. I know more about that stuff already. I want to know. I don't want to know any more about that, because it's destroyed too many homes. I'd rather remain ignorant about it. And that's why, you understand what I'm saying? Ignorance is not bliss, but innocence is. The least we know about something,
But yet, though, devil wants to stir us up and say, well, what about this? I'll say something about that in a little bit about Eve. I'd rather be innocent and ignorant, not knowing something. Because sometimes you can just read too much of the wrong kind of literature. And so I just chose not to read it, just after a few pages. Now, I made this statement, you're not stronger. You're not stronger when you learn about sin. The more you know about sin, the weaker you become. Because you see, you sin once, it's easy to do it a second time. Let me say this. It's off the cuff. But see, many a young person, male and female both, messed up once. They think, well, I'm just ruined for life, and they're just going to keep on doing it. It's that way about every kind of sin. Once you do it, once you sin, it's just easier to keep on sinning. But the strong young person, you young folks, listen to me. The strong young person is the young person who never puts a cigarette to their mouth. That's the strong young person that never tastes it. The strongest young person is that young boy or girl that makes a decision, alcohol will never touch my lips. I'll never taste of it. That's not weakness. That's strength. And we need a generation of strength among young people. So it poses a question. What's the purpose of rules? Rules are given to protect us, to keep us safe, and keep us pure, and keep us innocent. Every negative is for our protection. Positives point us in the right direction. Number three, and last of all, Satan wants me to think the negative is really a positive that God doesn't want me to have. Look what it starts off. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. First of all, that's a lie. That's not what God said. God didn't say every tree was off limits. And so, now think about this. See, he's talking to Eve. He says, yea, hath God said. And you read on and you come to this conclusion. Now, I want you to picture this in your mind. Satan's got Eve. He says, you mean God said you can't eat of any of these trees? She says, oh, no, no, no. No, that's not what he said. He said, just that one. He said, which one? She said, that one right over there. He said, oh, I see. I see, that's a negative, but think about this. He says, oh, that one. He said, oh, he said, let me tell you something. He's saying about what she said. He said, oh, let me tell you why God said you can't bother that tree. He said, because God knows the day you eat of that tree, you'll be as smart as he is. See, he's taking a negative with a positive approach. He says, God, and by the way, don't you think he probably whispered to her and said, you know, God's really a selfish God, isn't he? He knows when you eat of that tree, you'll be just as smart as he is, and he don't want you being as smart as he is. See, that's the way Satan does. He takes a negative and tries to twist it to make a positive out of it. What he's really saying to Eve is, do you really think, and don't you really think that God's just trying to keep something from you? I'll tell you something. God is not trying to keep something from us. God's trying to give us something. Something good. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. A lot of scriptures coming to my mind while I'm preaching this evening. I'll be through in about 7 or 8 minutes. I promise you that. Chapter 8 of Romans, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Look at this. This is the God I know. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God's not trying to hide something good from me. He's not trying to hide it from you. God wants to give you good things. God has some thou shalt nots to keep you out of trouble and to keep you safe, keep you pure, and to protect you and take good care of us. That's His reason for giving us those things. But Satan wants us to believe that God's keeping something beautiful from us. I'll give you some examples. I'm beginning to wrap it up. Be driving down the highway. All right, you folks that come in from Ball Knob and Searcy, and even farther down the road, Ward, on the freeway, a half a mile from the Bradford exit, advertising beer. Pretty impressive sign. Pretty impressive sign. Satan advertises. He's in the advertising business. You turn the TV on. Commercials. You watch a movie. Dignitaries. People going out partying. Sitting at tables. Beer mugs. All dressed up. Having a good time. You see, Satan pictures sin as something beautiful. Now going back to the morning's message. There is pleasure in sin. The Bible is very clear in the morning message. Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Yeah, Satan advertises it's beautiful. Party and go out and have a good time. But he never shows you pictures of people like that after midnight. He doesn't show you pictures of those folk early in the morning. He doesn't show you all the bruises and the bumps and the wrecks and the domestic problems. It's caused by all of that. See, Satan puts up the positive. But God says, yeah, but he hides the negatives. And so God says, that's why I tell you that thou shalt nots. Remember, I'll wrap it up. This is just a lesson more or less tonight, more than preaching. Negatives are for our protection. Young people, the next time you hear a parent say, no, that's a thou shalt not, but it's for your protection. It's to keep you safe and keep you out of trouble. Amen. Sometimes if the daddy says, the dress is too short, go back and change. When you go to your room, before you change, get on your knees, say, thank God I got a daddy who's trying to protect me. Or if a mama tells you, neckline's too low, go back and put on another one. Go to your bedroom, get on your knees and say, thank God I got a mama that's trying to protect me. Take good care of me. See, sometimes negatives are good. And God says it's only to protect you and to protect your innocence. Let's stand together. Well, I hope that helped us tonight.